This is a download from the BBC. To find out more, please visit bbcworldservice.com.
2 years ago, the World Health Organization decided to confront HIV head-on. By the end of 2005, 3 million people infected with HIV in the world's poorest countries would be receiving, free, the drugs they need to stay alive. They called their idea 3x5, and now is the time to find out if it's worked. I'm Nigel Wrench, and these are the pills I take to live with HIV. In these two programmes, I'll be finding out if millions of other people are getting them too, living with HIV, instead of dying a terrible death from AIDS. For the BBC World Service, I'll be travelling to the small villages where almost every adult has died of AIDS, to the street markets where everyone knows what the new life-saving drugs are called. I'll be meeting the doctors who have to decide who gets the pills and who doesn't, and challenging the man who set the target in the first place. Has the world kept its promise to give 3 million of its poorest inhabitants a future?
Before you knew you were HIV positive, did you know people who had died from AIDS, as so many people in Malawi have?
Yes. 30 to 40, where I am coming from, they were dying. But I am alive. I stand.
The choir sings in a church in the far north of Malawi in Central Africa, a place called Ekwandeni, near the market town of Mzuzu. About 1 million people in this desperately poor country have HIV. That's almost one in five. And until very recently, HIV has meant AIDS and death, as these women know all too well.
In this church, have there been people who've died?
Yes.
Were the funerals from this church from AIDS?
Yes.
Many funerals?
Many funerals.
How many, can you tell me?
Can't even tell.
You can't tell?
Yeah.
Uncountable.
Uncountable.
Many people have gone with AIDS. Mm. Now we are suffering here in this church because our friends are gone. And they have left their children suffering. And we have got many orphans here at Ekwandeni area.
How many orphans do you think there are now? Hundreds?
No, thousands.
Thousands?
Yeah.
Thousands of orphans?
Thousands of orphans.
Whose parents have died from HIV AIDS? That's terrible.
Sure.
A pharmacist opens a door to a cupboard full of small white plastic containers at the clinic in Ekwandeni. It's the door to life.
Four shells here.
Yeah.
This is a delivery from Cipla, the company in India that makes these pills.
Yeah.
Because in the containers are the pills known everywhere in Malawi as ARVs. These are the life-saving antiretrovirals the World Health Organization has promised so the church won't have so many funerals. The ARVs are provided free, paid for by the world's richest countries through what's known as the Global Fund. They only started to arrive in Ekwandeni in July last year, 7 months after the 3x5 programme was announced. It was too late to save many hundreds of patients, but in time to transform the job of the doctor in charge, Douglas Lungu.
I qualified in 1994, and I've always thought that God was against me, because as soon as I qualified, this epidemic just hit the road, and there's nothing you could do. And doctors were supposed to help people, and helping people wasn't what I was doing. I was helping people to die. The coming of ARVs, I think, has made a huge difference to that. There's been a change in the way we perceive things. We've changed this disease, I mean, from being a terminal disease to a chronic disease, the same as hypertension or the same as asthma or something else that people suffer for long periods of time. It means that you could do something against the actual person who is sick. It used to be acceptable. You got AIDS, you're going to die. And if you die, you help them to die peacefully. Nowadays, there's a paradigm shift. A patient dying with AIDS means that we haven't done something along the way to prevent it. And now the whole thing has been turned on over its head. any HIV AIDS related death is a waste of a person because something could have been done. We don't say everybody who gets on ARVs will live or will survive, but at least the numbers will be quite high. So it is a good thing.
Before 3x5 got underway, there were doubts the drugs would reach clinics like this one in the remote villages. And would people take their pills every single day, as they have to stay alive? Taken properly, the ARVs don't kill HIV, but they do keep it at a very low level.
ARV drugs are very good drugs. No headache comes to me. No fever comes to me. No any pain comes to me. I am a strong man.
The story of Chenson Mawunda, who lives in a tiny village 10 kilometres from Ekwendeni, shows how the doubters were wrong, how 3x5 can work. He had tuberculosis, his weight was down to 40 kilograms, HIV was doing its terrible work. Now Mr. Mawunda is 20 kilograms heavier, and his wife, who's not infected with the virus, is at his side, and all because of ARVs.
As you sit here talking to me, you have a smile on your face, a light in your eyes. You couldn't be healthier, and this is down to the ARVs.
The time when I was starting ARVs, people were laughing. They were saying that Tenson, he don't know what he's doing. ARV cannot help. ARV is not good. But I, myself, I accept to take ARV. And now they are looking at some things changing to me because of ARV. I am taking 2 tablets a day, morning and evening. I have no any symptoms. I've never been admitted again in the hospital. I've been never at bed rest in my home. I am farming. I'm working my work. I am a farmer. This time, October, I've already finished the garden of 1 acre to my home.
Sitting next to Mr. Mawunda as he tells his story is Esther Kawirama, who's the matron at the clinic. She remembers how sick he was.
He was very sick. He was really very thin. I had known him some years back before he got the disease. And when I looked at him, I think I was very shocked.
And without ARVs, well, he wouldn't be sitting here.
I believe so. Since he began his treatment, he has tremendously improved.
People talk a lot about how hard it is to keep taking these pills, these ARVs, that keep people alive on HIV. Yet this gentleman lives in a rural village. He seems to find it quite easy.
He does, because he received a lot of encouragement. And as he rightly says, everybody else really was laughing at him. You can imagine from 40 kilograms to what he is now. He had to put much effort, and he wanted to show the world that actually he is able to live.
Here it is, the male ward.
Yeah, this is the male ward.
And it's completely empty.
Yeah, this is...
One or two beds here. Well, you see now, 1, 2, 3, 4. It's 5 beds or so that are taken here.
This would be a ward that in the previous time would be completely full.
There's about 20 beds in this, the men's ward at Ekwendeni Clinic. Before the ARVs came, they were filled with patients dying of AIDS. Others would lie in the corridors, even on the floor. Here in Ekwendeni, the pills are doing their work. But is it enough? Is the target set for this country by the World Health Organization being met? Could more lives have been saved? It's a question for one of the men in charge of the ARV program here. He's Dr. Anthony Harris, who works in the HIV unit at the Malawi Ministry of Health in the capital, Lilongwe.
What, Dr. Harris, has the World Health Organization's 3x5 program done for people with HIV in this country? Has it saved any lives?
Undoubtedly, it has saved a lot of lives. The 3x5 initiative essentially was a call to arms to scale up ARV therapy in resource-poor countries. And I think Malawi, along with many other African countries, responded to that call to arms. And I think this was a great driving force for us to be bold, to be ambitious with our ARV scale-up plan. As of January 2004, we had probably less than 4,000 people on ARV therapy in this country. As I speak to you now, we probably have about 29,000 people on treatment. And ARV therapy saves lives in this country.
29,000, that's a lot lower, though, than the target set for you by the World Health Organization, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think you have to understand that these targets are put to sort of drive you, to encourage you, but sometimes they're unrealistic. I mean, we had a target of 80,000. Now, there was no way we could reach 80,000 people essentially in 2 years. We all appreciated that. But I think without that call to arms, we would not be at 29,000 people on treatment. It's much more difficult than people imagine to deliver quite a complicated treatment and monitor that treatment in a resource-poor country like Malawi.
29,000, though, that's less than halfway there. Do you feel you've failed people?
No, it's a good question to ask, and I think, and I've written a letter about this in The Lancet, it's like looking at a half-drunk glass of beer. Is it half empty or is it half full? And I would side with the glass being half full. I would say we have done a tremendous job in this country in getting people onto ARV therapy.
Still, there are people who've died because they haven't got those pills, those medicines, those ARVs.
I've been here for 17 years. I've been here since the AIDS epidemic started. I've seen people die, 86,000 people die every year in this country. We can't build Rome in a day. We can't solve the HIV/AIDS problem in a day. We've got a plan for the next 5 years of trying to reach 250,000 people in this country. Now, that doesn't meet the total need, but it's getting there. It's difficult. You cannot solve this problem all at once.
What is the total number who need pills?
At the moment, 170,000 people need treatment. And we know from good work done in our centres that if they don't get onto treatment, most of those people will probably die within 2 years. But that's been happening for 20 years in this country.
So the question at Ekwendeni Clinic is whether that is enough. Could more people be getting ARVs? Here they say they have the staff and the facilities to treat many more people. The trouble is the government has set strict limits. So there's a waiting list for HIV treatment. Doctors like Douglas Lungu have to make life and death decisions.
We have the drugs, we have the starter pack, but the rules of the game are such that we can only recruit at the moment only 6 patients per week. And the reason for that is because the HIV unit has calculated that that's the number that we can cope with. Ekwendeni Hospital has been doing this for such a long time that we have got a setup of over four or five clinicians that have been specifically trained in provision of ARVs, another 6 nurses that have been specifically trained in provision of ARVs, our 2 pharmacy technicians have gone through training in handling of the particular drugs. And my feeling is that we can put as many patients as we can, maybe if they allow us to put 20 a week, we would be able to do that because our catchment area is about 70,000 people from our statistics. Out of that, we know that if we put in total about 2,000 to 3,000 people on ARVs, we will have more or less covered our catchment area.
At the moment, then, you're serving, what, a quarter, perhaps, of the people who need these ARVs?
Yeah, and it's very difficult for us because these people, to us, are not clients, they're not patients, they're our neighbours. These are people that I meet in church, I meet at a football match, or I meet at a funeral. I meet them in the market. And therefore, they're more than patients because they will address you by name. And we know them by name. So they are our neighbors. So it is very frustrating to keep on telling somebody who thinks that you should be doing something.
Health Ministry officials told me that 100,000 Malawians need ARVs. The World Health Organization wanted 80,000 to be getting the pills by the end of this year. Right now, just 29,000 are getting the drugs that keep them alive. Those that don't get them will die in 2 years. Despite the 3x5 programme, 10 people die from AIDS every hour in Malawi. And so a grim business is still booming. In a small shop with a corrugated iron roof on the main road from Ekwendeni to Mzuzu, you can buy coffins in adult and children's sizes. Grace Chinola is the young woman in charge.
How many coffins do you think you sell every week?
Sometimes 3 of them.
3 every week?
Yeah.
Which coffins do people buy?
This one. Type, yes.
It's quite a smart coffin. You can unscrew the top so you can see the face of your loved one. There it is.
Yes.
And it's got a plastic wood veneer on it.
Formica.
What are they dying of that you sell so many coffins?
Many of them die with HIV/AIDS.
So your business here is still it's awful. But your business is still doing well in coffins.
Yes, it's still doing well.
It's a beautiful African evening.
Yeah, sure. See, this time around, the sun is going down.
On a drive to a small collection of thatched mud brick houses, that's the village of Ekwaiweni, there's evidence of where these coffins and those from other local funeral parlours have been buried.
There's a cemetery there with lots of new graves.
Whenever one villager dies, then he is put under the one cemetery.
As I drive up, a dozen or so children are playing between three or four houses. Most of the fathers and mothers of this village are dead. The ARVs arrived too late to save them. Most of these children are now orphans, among the 7,500 in this district alone. 900,000 orphans in Malawi as a whole, the terrible legacy of an untreated epidemic.
Walking towards one of these houses now. Children have turned out to meet us. Hello. Nigel Range, BBC World Service. Hello.
Thank you.
Thank you for meeting us.
Yeah. Welcome.
I meet a man called Musa Honde. Three of the children are his. For Mr. Honde, the ARVs came just in time. He'd spent 2 years desperately ill, bedbound with AIDS-related illnesses. From a jacket hung on a door, he takes a familiar container.
And they're in a green plastic bag. Let's have a look. Do you keep them with you all the time?
Yes.
He walks with it, he stays with it. That's the pouch he keeps in.
Here they are. Oh, triamine. I'm HIV positive too. I've taken these. It's a mixture of lamivudine, stavudine and nevirapine. These are the pills. You're smiling when you look at these pills because they mean life.
He's
really smiling and happy because he takes this same regimen.
Here we are under the thatch in your village. Look, there's a woman carrying water and some wood for the fire for the evening. Some chickens over there. This village has known a lot of death from HIV. Does it know life from HIV now?
There is
really life after this, especially after getting the triamine, because in the past he was bedridden, he couldn't do anything else by himself. He could be helped, taken to the toilet. He could be helped, taken for any other thing, to be fed by his wife. But now, after this treatment, after this regimen, he is able to do that by himself. So there is little life in this village after this drug.
His wife has HIV too, but she can't have the pills until she gets sick. And the years of illness have left the family bankrupt, barely able to feed themselves, let alone the orphans of the village. What the 3x5 programme hasn't and perhaps couldn't tackle was the problems that the AIDS epidemic has left behind and a crisis that lies ahead. Famine, not just in this village, but elsewhere. Teresa Moyo is a volunteer who works with HIV-positive people in Mchinji, on Malawi's western border.
You know, here in Malawi last year we had a drought, and most of the families are sleeping without eating anything. They are taking the medicine without food.
And these ARVs, these pills, they're very powerful medication. They have to be taken with food, don't they?
Is it true? But if you have no food, what can you do?
That's a real tragedy. Have you seen lots of people die?
Of course. I live in the village. I live in the village and I have seen people dying, literally dying, taking ARVs without food. And as I'm saying now, I have a patient. He has a Kaposi sarcoma.
It's that cancer on the skin that people get.
And he's not working now. But we are providing food to this man every day.
So there's hope for this person?
Yes, he has the hope. And he is really thanking, you know, the volunteers that we are taking our own initiative to look after him. We want them to survive. We don't want them to die. We want them to survive. That is why we volunteers, we give food to our patients.
So the question as 2005 comes to an end and the target for Malawi is unmet, even if hundreds, perhaps thousands of lives have been saved, is whether 3x5 has been a success here or not. In a garden in Lilongwe, I meet the man the World Health Organization appointed to lead the 3x5 program in this country, Dr. Eddie Limbambala. Is he satisfied?
Yeah, I'm quite happy. We have not met the targets as defined by the 3x5 fraternity, if you like. But the way we're going, we think that by December 2005, we could be hitting somewhere in the region of 35 to 40,000.
What's the biggest challenge now?
To ensure that the people that we have put on ARVs have access to ARVs for the rest of their life. Because ARVs are not like a vaccine where you give one jab and that's it. But the people that are on ARVs have to be assured of quality drugs that must be available until they are no more.
And that's going to mean a lot of money from the international community, because all of these drugs come from the Global Fund, which is funded by the world's rich nations.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we do hope that the global community will not let down these people that have put their lives in the hands of the global community.
The lives of Malawians depends on the generosity of the rich countries like Britain and America.
It does, certainly.
Do you think that money will continue to come?
I do hope so. I'm optimistic it will continue coming.
Next in this series, I'll be asking if there's any guarantee the money for treatment will always be there. And from the very top, a most unusual apology as I speak to the man in charge of 3x5 at the World Health Organization in Geneva.
I have to say that I am personally extremely disappointed in myself and in my colleagues because we haven't moved quickly enough. We haven't saved enough lives. So it's hard to sit back and rejoice when you know that so many people are dying.
I'm Nigel Wrench. You've been listening to 3x5, produced for the BBC World Service by David Cook at All Out Productions. You can listen to the complete series at any time and also get additional background notes on each programme. Just go to bbcworldservice.com and click Documentary Archive to find the site.